You may be aware that over my visits over the last few years, and as some of you have kept up to date with the different updates of the ministry that we were involved in with Arise working around the country, that I'm always up for a sense of fun and craziness. I think sometimes we can make following Jesus appear so boring and so dull. And actually, we can take it to the extreme, but I think sometimes there's a need for a little bit of, well, why not? Let's enjoy ourselves as we worship, as we meet together, and as we grow as God's family. And so, within the different events and ministry that I've been involved in, certainly over the last 6.5 years, I've always sought to really inject a good level of fun. Recently, at an event we were involved in, we had a recurring event each evening working amongst the 5 to 11s called Emma versus Ed. The concept was very simple. Emma and I were fronting it, and each night we'd be given a challenge. We actually did it last year at the event, and it was just this year it was Emma versus Ed, the teens. And so there we developed it extensively, you can see. So there were other people involved, some of the children and that sort of thing. And each night we were given different challenges. Now, come the last night, we were given a challenge, and Emma was actually invited by the team member who was organising this to ask someone else if she wanted them to take their place, which she agreed to. Because when we discovered it, what it was we were given 4 pedometers, which are basically the kind of thing you might put around your ankle so that when you're walking, you can see how many steps you take. And we were given 4 of them, 1 for each ankle and 1 for each wrist. And we had 60 seconds to see how many kind of counts we could get on them. I've got a video of the other guy that, if you're ever interested, is highly entertaining. Sadly, no one filmed me doing it. But I have to say, it was one of the most excruciating things I've ever done. 60 seconds of just trying to shake yourself and run on the spot as fast as you can. But it struck me when we come to our sermon this evening, and as we can begin kind of in our new series, Sold Out for the King, the whole title of Living for the King is one about action and movement. And the whole series that we're looking at in the evenings over the coming months, it is unpacking this whole challenge of how are we moving forward, how are we living our lives sold out for the King, and what does that mean? So rather than just kind of stating you need to live for Jesus, but actually, what does that mean for me on a Tuesday afternoon? What does that mean for me when I'm at work? Or what are some of the issues that I need to think through? Some of the things I need to be grappling with? As I shared this morning, in the mornings we're going to be working through the book of Colossians, asking that question, so who is the King? Who is Jesus? And then in the evenings, we're going to be looking at different accounts from next week onward, different passages, saying what does it mean to live for him? And again, as I shared this morning, I think in many ways this series is a real series of aspiration, because actually it's about seeking to be sold out for the King. Because as a believer, I'm never going to actually attain that while I'm here on earth. I'm never going to be able to be completely sold out for Jesus. But I believe I can always be taking a step forward. I can always be making a bigger effort. I can always be trying in a different way. And so as we kick off the evening series tonight, I want to look at a passage from Romans 12, or a few verses, where he talks about being living sacrifices. What does it mean to live for the King? Paul's words, very much living sacrifices. As I said, it's about living, it's about being active, it's about movement, it's about moving onwards, it's about engaging forward, it's about energy, it's about going from A to B, from this to that, from today to tomorrow and the day after. And it's that challenge of how do I live my life sold out for the King in everything? How am I willing to give over everything that I am? Romans, as a book in the New Testament, was described by Martin Luther. He said, Romans is worthy not only that every Christian should know it word for word by heart, but occupy himself with it every day as the daily bread of the soul. And in chapters 12 to 15, Paul writes about the transforming power of the gospel, this whole new way of living and thinking. that needs to be completely taken on board. That it's not something that we can just dip in and out of. That we can just choose the bits that we want or when it suits us, but actually needs to be something that's wrestled with, that is unpacked, that is explored, and that is lived out 365 days, 366, if it's a leap year before anyone says it. How are we giving everything that we have to live as a follower of Jesus? One commentator, interestingly, wrote how God is not satisfied with forgiving our sins. He wants to transform our lives. God is not satisfied with forgiving our sins. He wants to transform our lives. He wants all of it. Turn to Romans 12. I just want to read the first couple of verses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Firstly, I believe it's about offering our lives. Offering our lives over to God. You take a stick of rock. I'm sure you've all enjoyed a stick of rock at one time or other in your life. Whether it's one of those kind of multicolored ones, whether it's the classic pink outline, whether it's just a kind of a mini one that you can get kind of 10 for a pound, or whether it's a gigantic one that's going to completely rot your teeth and give you no hope of seeing any dentures into your later years. But whatever kind of rock it is, part of the nature of a stick of rock is that the writing on the end of it runs right through. The pattern on the end runs right through it. It's not a case that it starts one end and then it's blank all the way through and they then stamped it on the other end. Part of the way they make it is that it runs right through. So whether it's a stick of Brighton rock or Blackpool rock or whatever kind of rock, it will state that right through. And you can snap it in half and you'll still be able to read the same writing that was on one end and is on the other end. And in many ways, this verse here in verse 1, in chapter 12, Paul talking about this whole idea of offering your life, your whole life, every single bit of it, not just kind of one end or the other, but every part right throughout it. It's one of those verses I think maybe it's easy to kind of quote and reference and slip in here and there. You know, the idea of living sacrifices, giving your all. And Paul's talking about this challenge of not just giving over our physical body, but our whole person, every part who we are. And I just love this whole idea that God's not satisfied with forgiving our sins, but that he wants to transform our lives. This idea that it's not just about that moment, it's not just about that decision, about getting through the door and saying, yes, I want to be a Christian, I want to say a prayer, I want to do whatever it is that we say makes you a believer, but actually it's about all that follows that as well. It's about everything that comes after it. It's about offering all of our lives. This whole idea of living sacrifices, I don't know about you, but if you stop and think about it, it's a little creepy, really, isn't it? The idea of offering yourself as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice, in terms of the readers, they'd have understood sacrifice as you kind of, you know, you bring your menagerie of animals along when you come to worship, when you sacrifice. You know, we're having interesting debates in our house at the moment about possibly getting a pet. I'm losing, although I think more I'm gracefully seeking to bless the other members in my family. But it's the idea of bringing your pet, isn't it? Or bringing someone else's pet if you don't like it. You know, that's the idea of sacrifice, isn't it? But you've got to bring something. And we've got to have kind of an altar or a box or something. We've got to kill it. But we've got to burn it. And there's various kind of laws we read through. That's the idea of sacrifice that they would have understood. And so the idea of be a living sacrifice is just a bit, well, it's a bit disgusting, really, isn't it? But it's that challenge that Paul is saying. You need to bring everything you are. The whole of your life. Don't pick and choose. Don't offer just bits and pieces of it. But everything. In the Message translation of the Bible, it says, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. As a living sacrifice. Now you might kind of say, hold on a second though. So You're saying when I make a cup of tea, that I need to bring that, and it's yes. When I do my teeth, that yes. When I put the rubbish out, yes. When I pop round to Jempson's for a cheeky tub of honeycomb ice cream, yes. When I pick the kids up from school, yes. When I channel surf on TV undecided what I'm going to watch this evening, yes. When I'm filling the car up with petrol, yes. When I do that slow walk, around a bookshop, perusing the bookshelves, wondering what it is I'm going to buy this time, yes. When I enjoy a cup of coffee out in town, yes. When I play football, yes. When I meet a friend for lunch, yes. When I'm at the cinema, yes. When I take a walk along the seafront, again, yes. When I do all these things, and whatever ones that you would tick, and put in those in that response, in terms of living our lives, every single thing needs to be given over to God. It's not a case of make a cup of tea. No, that's not really important. We'll ignore that one. And when I'm out around the town, I'll ignore that one as well. And petrol. No, that's not enough. Every part of our lives. And we might go, but aren't they a bit mundane? Aren't they a bit ordinary? Aren't they a bit simple and unspiritual and basic and those things? I believe Paul writes a resounding yes. Give your whole life over to Jesus. So I've been reflecting on it. It's almost that as he simplifies, he amplifies. As he brings it down to almost this basic every day, you're eating, sleeping, living, suddenly it actually turns the heat up. And that challenge for us is to what difference this makes. How do we engage with this? This sense that there's actually nowhere to hide. Not that we should want anywhere to hide, but there's nowhere for us to hide if we're actually seeking to live our lives sold out for the King. Bringing everything that we are before him. So how are we offering your life, offering our lives? Secondly, it talks about this whole thing of refusing to conform, begins in the first part of verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. I came across this week on the website WikiHow, one of those great sites that people put on the whole a load of rubbish, I think, on. But I'm sure there is some useful stuff on there as well. But I came across how to blend in. So if you're looking at how to blend in, there are 13 steps. Step one, never draw attention to yourself. There is then a blurb you can read, but I'm not going to bother sharing that with you. Number two, wear something inconspicuous. Number three, don't make eye contact. And it goes on. And there's 13 steps, each with a nice kind of description as to how you can blend in. There's even a further half dozen bonus tips at the end, just in case you need that sort of thing. But it's easy to find ourselves sometimes copying the behaviours and the customs of others. Maybe because we do want to blend in, because we want to fit in. Might be because we just don't want people to notice us. Maybe it's because we don't want to appear the odd one out. It's because the things where we want to kind of go along and get in with certain people or be invited to certain things or certain events. And that's a challenge for us, is saying, how am I not going to get sucked in? How am I going to refuse to be distracted from living for the King? See, on the one hand, there's a specific context that Paul is writing to. Because the letter to the church in Rome was written some 2,000 years ago. So on the one hand, we go, yes, it was written to a certain time and certain people in a certain place, and the challenges that they were facing and going through were completely specific to them. But yet, on the other hand, in many ways, I don't think much has changed. And actually, the same challenges and the same concepts that they would have been facing in terms of not being sucked in by the world around them, not being drawn away by the society that we're a part of and living in, are the same for us today. This whole idea of refusing to conform. This idea of, there's no ifs, no buts, no grey areas, no bits where we can say, well, this stuff is okay, really, isn't it? Because that's, we're not, we're not quite sure. We can't quite agree on it, so we'll just go, that's grey and that's okay, you know. This is obviously wrong, that's obviously right, but there's this bit in the middle. People saying, you know, refuse to conform. And it's this whole idea of not, you know, just saying it's about that decision of deciding to follow Jesus, but actually that working it out in our lives. The promises that we make, the commitment that we make, and being willing to say, actually, no, I want to stand and I want to live for someone better than all that this world would throw at us and suggest to us. And I wonder, though, do we really want to do that sometimes? Do we actually want to nail our colours to the mask? Do we actually want to go, no, this is the line and I'm not going to cross it, whatever the consequences? Or do we actually like the fact of being able just to, well, let's just dabble and sit on the fence a bit? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if you've been baptised, then there will be certain things that you will have said in your baptismal promises. Do you renounce the devil and all his works? That's one of the promises that we ask those who have been baptized. So if you've been baptized, chances is maybe slightly different wording, maybe if you were baptized somewhere else, but the chance of that, if you're here, that's what you've said. Do you denounce the devil and his works? And you would have said yes. Do you renounce the world and all the things in it that would draw you away from Christ? Again, you would have responded yes. And relying on God's help, do you turn to Christ, asking for forgiveness and for his strength to overcome all the temptations of the flesh? To renounce, one definition I came across is to formally declare one's abandonment of. It's not to say kind of, well, I'll sort of not do it for now, but I will come back to it. It's saying, no, I don't want this anymore. But do you renounce the devil and his works? Yeah, I want to abandon any thought of it. Do you renounce the world and all the things in it that would draw you away from Christ? Yeah, I want to abandon them. I don't want anything to do with them. And recognizing that it's only through the strength that Christ gives us that we're going to overcome these things. Now, it's not to suggest that it's easy, that deciding to follow Jesus, that making that step of faith, that making those commitments, those vows, those promises, suddenly mean it's we're on easy street and we haven't got any promise problems at all. But at the same time, it's not to say that we can then come up with excuses, going, well, actually, I'm a bit of a special case here and it's a bit different. You don't know the situation and these things happen. And saying, how am I going to live sold out for the King? How am I going to say, no, enough is enough. I don't want to conform anymore. I want to give 100%, or I want to aim to give 100% of who I am every day, every step, week by week, month by month, from here onwards. And then the other thing, if we just draw into the second part of chapter 2, we need to offer our life, we need to refuse to conform. It's also recognizing that God brings out the best. So if you've ever had a go at a Rubik's Cube, that kind of impossible puzzle with all the different colours and that sort of thing, that's, you know, kind of some people just seem to have a knack of being able to get them all right and see, so you have all the blues on one side, all the whites on the other, and reds and that sort of thing. I came across an easy solution this week. It's printable, downloadable. It's the right size. It's a template, and you can then cut it out and stick it on your cube. And within a few seconds, it's absolutely perfect. I mean, that's not what Paul is talking about here. He's not, you know, suggesting that to be transformed is just about a mere cover-up. That we just, you know, maybe put on a different face and try, you know, a different look, and then that's fine, and that's enough, and it doesn't matter what's going on underneath. And the New Living Translation said, let God transform you into a new person. It's not only about being transformed, but it's also recognizing who transforms us. Transformed by God. It's the idea that we mustn't be conformed by the world, but rather transformed by God. It isn't enough to take the first part of verse 2 without the second part. We've got to get out with the old, but we also need to be in with the new. Psalm 78 verse 4 says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation. And it's that challenge that if we don't share the truths of God, other things will be picked up. And it's that challenge to say, how are we not just seeking to share amongst children, but actually everyone who doesn't know Jesus? How are we seeking to communicate the truths of God into their lives, into their midst? And then how are we seeking to be renewed by God daily? How are we, once we've discovered that, soaking up his word, reading the scripture? How are we engaging in other Christian literature? How are we seeking to be filled by the Spirit day in, day out? How are we willing to support one another, to open up with one another, to recognize that we're in this together? How are we living our lives sold out for the King, recognizing that we need God to move within us, and that only he can ultimately bring out the best within us? I wonder whether this evening, whether the idea of living, you know, continually offering our lives to God is something that actually we're not quite sure about, or it scares us a bit. This whole idea of actually giving control completely over to someone else. But that's what's called of us if we're seeking to live for Jesus. If we're seeking to be sold out for him. If we're seeking to be all that he has created us to be and calls us to be. I believe there's that challenge for us, you know. Do we just pick and choose what we offer? Are there certain bits of our lives that actually we've kept hidden? Maybe from others here, maybe from our family, maybe from our friends, and certainly from God. And that doesn't mean that, you know, we've secretly been living a double life, you know, having wild parties and all this sort of thing. Actually, maybe it's stuff that just goes on in our heads. Maybe it's stuff that we do at times where, you know, no one else is around. But things that we need to give over to God, because we're not completely, continually giving everything of our lives over to him. But also I wonder whether there's that challenge for us in that, are we still conforming to the world? Not just about not giving everything over, but actually we're still trying to keep up with what's going on around us. We're still trying to blend in. We're still trying to, you know, fit with the scene. Rather than actually recognizing that it's not what's important. Because God calls each one of us to follow him and to be transformed by him. For him to bring out the best in. We need to draw a line in the sand, maybe, and say, actually, enough is enough, and I no longer want to do that, or I need to start doing this. Chapter 12 began, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. Another translation said, I beseech thee. It's interesting that it's not a command that Paul is putting out to the believers, to the church. Because you kind of think, well, surely it should be, wouldn't it? You know, shouldn't this just be part, you know, part of what it means to know Jesus? It should be, thou shalt, you must. But ultimately, it's that choice. And it's that choice for you and for me as to whether I live for Jesus. As to whether I'm willing to continually offer everything that I am over to him. And that choice as to whether I'm going to refuse to conform to the world around me. Whether I'm going to say, I want to live sold out for the King, giving my everything over to him and to him alone. Amen.